Thanks for downloading the Brandon Baxter in the Morning podcast, powered by Ashley Home Store. Right now, you can go in and get up to 20% off store-wide, plus pay no interest for up to 36 months. Or enjoy 60 months no interest for a limited time. Fresh new looks at amazing prices store-wide. Ashley Home Store. This is home. On Fair Park Boulevard in Jonesboro.
Get up! Brandon Baxter in the Morning.
All right, so the deep dive into David the Barrel Boy is about to continue. If you missed the first part, where we kind of talk about the early part of David's life and what led him to the moments of deciding, hey, I want to try radio, you can check it out in the archives of the podcast. But here we are. We're about to approach David as he enters the world of radio.
And we left you with like a cliffhanger because this question is a really deep question.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right, so what is the hardest thing you've had to overcome just being who you are in this industry?
Man, I've thought about that a lot. Like, I don't, there's so much that goes into it because you have to expose your life. You have to be out there in the open. You have to be ready for judgment. I don't know. All of that kind of stuff, really. All of it kind of encompasses this job. That was probably the hardest thing for me because I'm a recluse. I'm kind of inward a lot. I don't know. I never really used to talk to a lot of people, if that makes sense.
Are you saying you're shy?
I mean, I think I've opened up a lot more, but yeah, I'm still shy in certain situations. Like if I'm meeting new people, it takes me a long time to finally let myself go in front of them.
So for you, like, let's go back to school, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say you were like? Because I think we changed throughout school. Like mm-hmm. You're one way in elementary school. And then when do you probably become more self-aware? Is that
I would say middle school? Junior high is pretty tough, but by 9th, 10th grade, you kind of know. You are, I think.
When do you think you were the most shy?
Probably my 8th, 9th grade year in that junior high stuff. And then I got a little bit better as I got older. I mean, there were I'm weird because when I'm around certain people, I act differently. I hate to say it like that, but if I'm around people I know that were always cooler than me, I always tried to act a little bit different so mm-hmm. I could be cool with them. But I don't know. I wish I could just be myself at all times, but it's just hard for me. I end up like getting in the shell and I don't know what it is.
But it's kind of like being a chameleon. I think being a chameleon in some ways is good though, because you can, mm-hmm. like if you're in a business world and you're around people who are professionals, like lawyers or you know, city council members or whatever, you want to be able to act like them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you're around your buddies, you want to be able to act. So I think it's good to be able to kind of be somewhat of a chameleon.
Yeah. I'm always afraid of asking the wrong questions, though. So I always get stuck in conversations of, like, what do I say next? Because I never want to ask the question of, like, something and I didn't know it, and then they get offended by my question, and then I end up overthinking the entire situation. You know, like, what if I ask somebody, like, hey, how's your son doing? And then it's just like a terrible story and an ordeal they just went through, but I had no idea. Yeah. And then I end up holding myself back from asking people questions and things like that. So, yeah, I think the shyness aspect was definitely hard for me to kind of get through.
I think that's tough for everybody. Once you come into radio and you have the idea that this is going to be a really easy thing to do.
Yeah.
And then you realize, oh my gosh, I have to be so honest and I have to be creative and funny all at the same time. And there's time constraints and all of that.
And another thing you have to be ready for is you bring whoever loves you into it too. So if you have a girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, kids, they have to be okay with you basically being out there and being honest and putting yourself out there. And like you said, getting judged, you know, whatever.
And there are some people who do radio and you never really learn the real them because they're either a character or it's never really them.
Like, just surfaced.
Yeah, yeah. And it's kind of like, okay, I don't really connect with that person because I don't feel like I know them.
Right.
We actually just read a blog. There was a radio DJ in Dallas who ended up going national, Kid Craddock, right? And he's since passed away. But I remember listening to him as a kid. And one of the parts of this blog/article was about how people who listened to him for a long time felt like they knew him and they felt this connection to him mm-hmm. because of the life stories over so many years. You know, you can't come in and people figure you out in the first year that you're on the radio. Mm-hmm. It takes a long time for people to kind of figure it out and decide if they like you or not.
Mm-hmm.
But like for you who came in as somebody who was extremely shy, and then I would imagine your fiance was probably fairly shy as well.
Yeah, she was to a certain extent. I think she still is. But, you know, it's like I think it's hard for her to understand that this is so much of entertainment, showmanship. A lot of it's just embellishing stories. And whenever I put her name out there, I'm not trying to embarrass her or anything like that. It's just a part of my life. It's a part of my story, and I want to tell those kind of stories.
And I think, go ahead.
No, I was just, you know, I think if you don't tell those kind of stories, people don't get to know you. They don't really understand what you're about. And then you end up getting stuck with, I don't know, what kind of stories are you going to tell? Are you going to be like the person that really dives deep into, you know, your life and it makes them feel like you're friends with them, the people listening? Or are you just going to be somebody who's just talking, you know? And I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be known as that.
Yeah. And I think when you say embellish, just to clarify for the people who invest, you know, in what we do, like we don't embellish and make stories up.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't mean it like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the way we embellish is just to,
you know. It's a delivery thing.
It's a delivery and it's a timing and everything has to be a little bit bigger.
We don't want to sound like David when he answers the phone.
Good morning,
Kevin.
That was a one-time fluke, okay? No. It happened and it won't happen again.
It was like when I had to call him out for how he was doing TV. Because it's not like the thing at the end of the show, what's on TV tonight? It can be very, hey, what's on TV tonight, David? And David goes, blah, 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 blah. But we've turned the corner on it and it's David, over exaggeration, mm-hmm. What's on TV tonight?
Yeah.
And then so at first it was very much David was bored by that because it was kind of a list of stuff.
Yeah.
But we're prepping you for the night. Mm-hmm. So now it's, if I say, David, what's on TV tonight?
Well, Brandon on TV tonight. So
it's so different than what it started out as.
Well, you start with more energy, and then you're just kind of going from that momentum you've carried, as opposed to I get that. You know, it's just a different mindset. You gotta flip it.
Let's go to Rachel real quick because again, she was kind of, I guess, forced into this. All of our families have been forced into it. They didn't have a choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, they've allowed us to have the jobs, but at the same point, they didn't realize they were going to be such a part of the fabric of the show. So for Rachel, has there ever been a time, honestly, where she's come to you and been like, okay, that's too much, or don't talk about me again, or why don't you go get a real job?
No, she's never done the real job thing, but she has said that's too much. Like we did a bit a couple of weeks ago that really got her mad. Like that one made her very, very mad.
And it was?
It was the one about her Spotify music. I don't want to dive deep into that again in case she's listening, because she got really mad at me. That one, she got mad.
She really got mad.
Mm-hmm. And I even told her, like, look, I would come to your defense in those situations. It's not like I'm hanging you out to dry, like, oh, good luck after I talk about you in this way. You know, and I tell these stories.
But what were you going to do?
I would go talk to her principal or superintendent.
Because
or
she was worried that her employers would look at her
right,
bad.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm like,
but what are you going to do? Like, you're going to convince them that it's okay?
Oh, I could go out there and even say, look, it wasn't even her Spotify. You know, it's like.
You were going to say, like, you made something up.
You made up the whole story. I made up the story to make my girlfriend sound like this.
Well, I didn't make up the story.
You did?
I did not.
Okay.
No.
What was the song again?
I'm not doing that. Nope.
You have to, oh, I have it right.
You have to go dig deep into the.
The archives
for that one. She does get upset, and I have to tell her every single time. It's like, Rachel, I've told you this. This is just my career. This is my life. You know, I'm not a banker. I'm not going to, you know, sit around and only talk to people for a few minutes. It's like I'm letting them know what's going on, you know.
Do you think this profession surprised people who knew you, like that you went into radio? And not just radio. Like, you're not just reading news or weather. You know, you're a part of personality radio because what we do is personality radio.
I think maybe people who knew me in high school a little bit, but.
Well, I know we've seen some teachers that you've had in the past. They're so proud of him.
Yeah.
They're stepping out of my shell.
I mean, we've heard people say that to him.
Oh, yeah.
So
Multiple, not just one. We've heard multiple teachers.
So I think a lot of them are probably very surprised that he got into radio and became the barrel boy and did all these stunts. And he continues to be silly because he probably wasn't like that in school.
Not really. I mean, I always try to be funny, but I was also kind of an ass, if I remember right, in high school. Like, when I was in 11th and 12th grade, you know, I think everybody kind of goes through that phase where it's like, I know everything in life. And then you get that rude awakening one day. It's like, no, you really don't. And no, so now I just try to, not to say I think sometimes I still act like I know it all. And I think y'all kind of get that.
No comment.
Yeah, y'all get that. But that's like, I don't know. It's just kind of how the way I was raised and all that kind of stuff.
Are your parents know-it-alls?
No. My dad.
How were you raised like a know-it-all?
My dad,
your parents
because
were?
My dad knows a lot, and I've always tried to imitate him.
Oh, gotcha.
And so, I mean, legit, he does know a lot of stuff, and it's just like, man, I wish I knew that. And then I guess I try to portray that sometimes. So that's probably where I get that from. But I've tried my best to get better at that.
Were your parents surprised by your choice?
Maybe a little bit, but they've always been supportive of me and my decisions. So
who would have been more surprised, your mom or your dad?
Probably, man, I don't know. Maybe equally, but I don't really think they were that surprised by it.
Your sister, what grade is she going into?
8th.
So she was how old when you first started this?
I first started in radio, I think she was like 5 or 6.
So her going into that grade, there's a lot of peer pressure. There's a lot of, you know, the need to feel accepted. How do you think she feels now going in, would you say 8th?
Yeah.
8th grade.
I think she feels like I'm a dork and I'm kind of a like, I don't know, because I do all that stuff and she always comments on it like, wow, you're so cool and stuff like that. I think deep down inside she does think it's funny, but she's trying to portray it like I'm a dork and I'm a nerd. And she has a boyfriend now and I think he thinks I'm a dork and all this kind of stuff. So it's like,
are you getting bullied by an 8th grader?
Yes.
Is your brother David the Barrel Boy?
Yeah. But I play jokes on her all the time, whether it be like just little stuff around the house or whatever. So I don't know. I feel like I've always kind of been like that. I'm just now exposing
She'd
it to
She'd be fun
people.
To have on the show.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. She's been on the show before, I think. We've called her.
So do you think that who you are on the radio, like when you are comfortable in it, is that David from Wiener, Arkansas, or is this a character that's been created that you're just portraying on the radio?
A little bit of both, because I think it's like, you know, kind of going back to the embellishing thing, because I think it's a little bit of that me growing up, going to college, and exposing myself more and not trying to feel embarrassed and just going with what people will think is funny and just rolling along with it. But then there's also that reserve me, you know, like, this may sound kind of bad, but there's a lot of times when people are like, oh man, that was so funny. And I have no, again, this sounds awful, but I have no urgency to talk about it again. It's like, I did that. Let's think about what we can do next. You know what I mean?
Like to who?
Just like anybody. Like, I mean,
to somebody on staff, to a friend?
Somebody on staff, somebody on a friend. Now, if there's a fan of the show, I'm not going to be like that at all.
But you also have to remember, we'll post something on Instagram, and it's so early for us. We'll post something at 6:30. Mm-hmm. We're laughing about it for the next 4 hours. And I go to another job. I've got kids. I'm doing whatever. And then that night, somebody at the karate school will be like, hey, it was so funny. And I don't know what they're talking about because it feels like it's been another day.
Yeah.
You know, or I'm like, oh, yeah. It is kind of weird.
Yeah. I've never been a big tell me how your day was person. Like,
that's weird. Even when you're married, that's weird. Because, like, my wife says every day.
I think that's important, though. I think you need to talk to each other about your day.
But she says, how was the show? I'm like, fine. Like, you know, I don't even know. Like, how do you judge it? And how do I rate it? Because we do so many in a year. It's like, there's this weird, like, some days are better than others, you know. And some days we're more creative. We have a different bit or we have a different guest who is really good or... But like, how was this? That's a weird daily
Joey
discussion.
Normally asks me that.
And what
sometimes I'll be like, why don't you listen to the podcast? Yeah. Like messing with him and tell me what you think. Or I'll be like, it's all right.
But what makes it all right? Like, what's the difference for you that makes the show all right? And like, oh, that was a great one. Is it your performance?
No,
is it overall vibe?
It's overall. Sometimes I get mad at myself. But
And that that affects when you're down on yourself.
It affects the whole show.
It affects the whole show.
Yeah. Like, I thought my first hour today was not the best. Like, I thought that 6 o'clock hour, not to say it was bad, but I thought there were a lot of times I caught myself, like, why did I just say that? Why did I do this? Should have done this better. Should have structured that better. And then I start to overthink it. But then I just get out of that mindset. I'm like, okay, what can we do next? You know?
Let me give you a mindset that can be crippling because I've gone through it at different points in my career. You know, it's always good, no matter what your job is, to always, you hear the thing, have a resume ready. For radio, it's kind of like have a resume, have an air check ready, right? And you always kind of are thinking, like, if this show were to be my air check or somebody were to listen today that wanted to hire for this great position in Dallas, Texas, it was going to be a $1 million job or whatever the case may be. Would this be my best?
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you start thinking about it through that filter,
That's pressure.
That's a lot of pressure, man. But like, we need to be our best every single day. Yeah. Like, we really do, because there's so much competition out there.
But I feel like we're getting, I think we get better every day. I really do believe that. Whether we have a good show or not, I feel like me personally, I've gotten into that groove. It's like, we've been doing this for about 3 years now. I know what's good. I know what's bad. I know what's kind of in between. So, you know, if I do have a bad moment, it's like I catch that now, as opposed to just kind of rolling along with it and being like, whatever. You know what I mean?
Most recent bad moment that you didn't enjoy.
What do you mean? Like bit-wise?
Gillian.
Gillian
those
Anderson.
Those make me feel stupid. I haven't looked up an interview.
That's my favorite thing is when one of us messes up and then we roast each other. Like it, because it happens and we're not faking it. Like, we really mess up.
The worst ones are like when you cover your mouth. That's when you know I...
Like this.
Like, you covered your mouth today on that Gillian thing. And I'm like, son of a gun.
Because I bet it's been every year that he's done it. And maybe, I forget, because there's 364 days before he does that birthday again.
I know. Mm-hmm. Like, you always set me up with that.
There was one time you on purpose misspelled something, and he said it. And we were at Club Tan, and you did on purpose. I don't remember what you did.
No, it was the...
You did an adult film
It was
star.
The porn star.
That's right.
I was like, son of a gun.
So, it was Tara Patrick.
The worst birthday one I've ever done was someone who was an adult star. And for whatever reason, I didn't pick up on it. And the description was sword fighter. And we were in the middle of high school. And you looked at me and your face was red. Like, you thought, there's no way he's going to read this. And then I did. And you were like.
And I think he was like, sword fighter.
He's a sword fighter? Some guy in his 60s. I don't even know who he was.
Ron Jeremy, probably.
No, it was someone. I can't remember who it was.
It had to be somebody really famous, or else I wouldn't have left it.
Well, maybe. Now, it wasn't Ron Jeremy, because I know who he is. Mm-hmm. It was someone that was like...
They're disgusting.
Still, shut up. What was the question you just asked?
Your most recent bad moment where you're like... I'll tell you, we did a deal today where... And I'm not saying it was a bad moment, but afterward, David said, well, what did you think? Was that good? Because sometimes we don't know. We're so close to the situation.
I always want you to critique me, too. But I think you want him to critique you as well.
Yeah.
I want you to say, you know what, you needed to be a little bit more up, or, you know what, chill out, or, like, I want you to...
But there's times where that's good, and sometimes that's uncomfortable, especially if it's early.
Especially in the middle of the show. I get that.
Your 6 o'clock hour, I never want you to critique me. After 7, you make a critique me.
I had a critique at 6:02.
Oh, when I messed up?
We can go back and play it, but I had something, I was like, I'm just going to let it go, and I'll bring it up the next time.
What was it?
It was a little bit of foreshadowing.
I foreshadowed?
Because I wasn't all the way... I'd kind of thrown something out there. Like, here's a way we could go with something. And I do that. My brain is such a unique deal. Like, it hits me, and it's like, we're 30 seconds. Here's a way to go.
Yeah.
So it's like, I can't think. It's just how I'm
wired.
What'd
I do? You're going to have to remind me.
How do we start?
It was something about...
Oh, it was about the coffee, the creamer. Because I legit thought, has my coffee creamer expired? And I said something about taste. What was the line?
What was it?
Do your tastes change? You, David, goes into Scarlett Johansson, and you corrected him before I could correct him. Like, you knew what I was thinking.
But
in taste.
Didn't I ask you, is that what you're meaning? Is that what you mean, is taste?
Yeah, but you kind of knew before.
Sometimes I think that that's helping you go into the bit, and I don't realize... Foreshadowing. Now, sometimes I foreshadow.
But see, that's why sometimes I'm like, I don't even want to tell him because I want it to be 1,000%.
I get that. There is that balancing act, I think, though. It's like, I'm glad we have this deal where we can see all the ideas, because it's like, okay, I have the general idea of where this is going to go. I just don't know the exact details of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to know all the details of your story, but I at least want to know, like, the overall basis of what's going to happen. That way, I don't foreshadow and I don't ruin the whole thing. But the whole thing I do is I just play dumb. I just ask you questions. That's what I always try to do. I never try to make... Maybe if I make a statement, it's a dumb one. That's not going to ruin your story or your bit. But I always try to, like, what are you talking about?
I guess I think that I was trying to segue you into whatever you were
saying. I get it.
Yeah.
And if we go back and listen to it as a group, I think there was just that spot where I was like, oh, I think you kind of knew where I was going before they knew where I was going.
I gotcha. Mm-hmm.
hang on, where?
Worst moment.
Yeah.
Gosh, I don't know. That's such a tough question.
Worst moment, but one time where you're like, oh, I don't think that worked as well as I was hoping.
The number one that always comes to my head is it was a Miss ASU thing. It was right after I think I did my first or second Miss ASU, and the bit was like 10 minutes long, and I could tell on your face you were getting mad at me. I could see
that's
it.
That's the worst bits is when we look at his face and we can tell he's not feeling it.
I can put myself in that position, and it was like 2 years ago.
And it starts going downhill. You're like,
it makes me anxious thinking about it. Like, I'm getting nervous right now.
Because you went way too long?
I went way too long. There were way too many details. It was way too much about me. There were too many questions geared toward me.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, I'm glad I've done that, though. Part of me is like, damn, that sucks. But I'm glad I went through that because now I know I don't ever need to do anything like that again.
I try not to give those really long stories.
Yeah, those long stories like that are just... Like, I always try to bring you guys, I love to bring you guys into my stories in a way that you can contribute where it's not just saying, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I try my best. I try my best to do that. Sometimes it always doesn't work out. It's like the deal we did this morning with the me fishing for free lunch or whatever. You know, it's like I tried.
That's the one you asked me after it was over.
That was it. And it was like. I went to the bathroom right after that. I was like, man, maybe I went too long on that. Because I don't...
I think it was about 5 minutes.
Was it 5 minutes?
Or something.
God, see, that drives me crazy. I wish that could have been shorter.
But we all did talk in that you know, it wasn't just you.
But if we all talked and it was 3 minutes and it, you know, just... There's no doubt that if... And it's just so different. Like, a podcast is one thing. Like, we've gone at this point... 20 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a different format. It's a different feel. The podcast is more personal and it's like the hyper fan.
Right.
And they're not waiting for the next song and all that kind of stuff. Like, cause you're listening to spoken word. But if you're on the radio, you have all those different elements that you have to hit.
Mm-hmm.
So ideally 3-ish minutes or whatever.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess it's okay sometimes to go over that time frame.
100%.
You know,
if it's good, it's good.
Yeah.
But here's where you worry about it. When you're not really feeling it, and then you realize it was 5 minutes, you're going, holy crap.
Yeah, dude. That's when you were like, we should have gotten out 2 minutes.
But there's times where in your idea, the thought is good, and it either doesn't come across the right way, or it took too long, or there were too many roadblocks thrown up to where all of a sudden you lost your pacing. And that just happens.
Yeah. Now, did you think that was an okay bit this morning?
Probably a little bit long.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought the concept was funnier on the air than what I thought it was going in. Because we talk through, okay, conceptually, where are we trying to go? What feeling are we trying to get out of this? But we all are going to have a bit that's really funny in our head and we were in the moment or it's our thought. And then on the air, it doesn't come across. And I'm not even saying that bit was because I thought it was good. But there are those that come across where it's like, oh gosh. And you know it halfway through.
Help me get out of this.
And you still have to finish it. And you're going, holy crap. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Okay, your longest bit, I don't remember the Miss A State thing.
Oh, I do. I remember the looks you gave me. But you have such a funny, you have verbal cues that are so, you speak through your face a lot.
Is it just like this?
It's like you look up at the, when I can tell you're frustrated.
No, he starts getting antsy.
You get antsy and you look up.
He starts looking over here at the screen.
Yep, you just did it. You look at the TV, you start moving in your chair, you look over here, you look over there, you're not making eye contact with us.
And we all have chemistry.
That's what I'm trying.
We all have chemistry and there, it's almost like the chemistry sizzles out for just about 15 seconds and then you start, it's like a decline. You're like, oh God, he's not feeling it. Oh, I'm not feeling it. And then it's just like.
When we're all not feeling it, that feels bad.
Yeah.
Do you remember Kelly's longest break?
When I had to read about the people.
No, not that.
No, there's one that comes to mind. I can think of it.
It was over 10 minutes. It might have been 12.
Yeah, I don't want to.
What? Which one?
I don't want to
12
say it.
Minutes?
It was
damn.
Are we thinking
I'm
the same one?
I'm never talking again.
I think so. I think we are.
It's been a long time, but it was like, there were a lot of details, and it was a detailed story.
I really need to know what it is.
I don't even think we were doing the podcast at that point.
It was cool.
Or we'd have probably been kicked off.
Oh my gosh.
Tell me.
The
you want to write it down? And then we're going to have to stop.
This is stupid.
We'll go into part two. I need something to write with.
A 12-minute break here.
All right. Ah, shoot.
Oh, God.
Idiot.
I did that.
Yeah, you did that because
you freaking hit a button. Golly.
She throws a pen and manages to hit one little tiny button. And I'm writing on something you won't even be able to read.
Hang on. Here.
I know where I want to go. What? What did you? Okay.
We're well equipped in here, as you can tell. Mm-hmm. Pens and paper are fluent.
All right. Don't show it to her. Okay?
Okay. Okay, I'm not looking.
All right.
Okay, Kelly has her eyes
closed.
Well,
if it's two of them, that's going to be even worse.
No, it's going to be the same one.
I'm telling you, this is it.
Close your eyes. For real.
I am.
She's not. Turn around.
All right. Oh, yep, that was it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. It's just one.
That's so funny.
Tell me what it is. Holy gosh.
Oh, man.
Hang on.
That's classic.
I went skydiving.
Was that it? When I went skydiving?
Yep, and I wrote the same thing.
I wrote skydiving.
Maybe it's because it was such a like crazy experience. I feel like I needed to tell everybody everything.
And that's the thing. It's like we want to tell these stories, and I think it's just human nature to put in all those details and let people know like every aspect of what you were feeling, what was going on, and then you end up just going way too long on a story. You know?
But let me,
wow.
Okay, here's the deal. Here's how we have to think about it. This is just a learning experience, and we'll take a break, and we'll come back with another one. In those stories, imagine you're at the dinner table with a whole group of people,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, let me tell you the story, and there's six other people around, and you talk for 12 minutes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, that's a lot of me. So we have to think about that, that these other people are at the table with us, and sometimes we got to give them a break. Now, we all, I guarantee you, in that story, we all came in and asked you questions and all
right.
that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of it, when we get out of that break, we're going, dang.
Yeah.
I know. I think you can start getting in your own head about it.
And now that I understand about radio time, that is a long time. So I would like to issue a public apology.
And what's funny is like we split up these hours and we can see how long. And sometimes a whole hour of talk may be 12 minutes. You know, and then you go back to that moment. You're like, my break just went 10 minutes long. What the heck? It better be freaking awesome if it's 10 minutes.
And how many of those have we had? Legit
good 10 minute breaks. The only ones I can think of are like me going out doing something just stupid and ridiculous and something you would see on a TV show.
But still 10 minutes is too long, even for a funny bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because guess what? It's only funny for a few minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And by the end of it, it's not nearly as funny.
And somebody might not be in their car listening to the radio that long.
Yeah.
But I always want to do those bits where people are like sitting in their car and they're almost late for work or late for
class. Because they want to listen to the end of it.
That's always cool. You know, it's like the one that comes to mind with that is the time I did the cereal box thing. You remember that? We painted my face up like Tony the Tiger. And I went out to the store and I bought these cereal boxes. And I was so embarrassed, but I had to play it off.
Like your face wasn't painted. That was dumb.
So bad. And there were like people in there looking at me like, what are you doing? It's 7:30 in the morning. You're painted up like a tiger.
A horrible, messed up tiger, because I painted him, remember?
It was terrible.
Yeah, it was really bad.
With those horrible paints you got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I forgot about how bad those were.
So this has been Deep Dive Part 2. I know where I want to go with Deep Dive Part 3. Mm-hmm. Because we've gone, okay, here's David's live and conceptually, like, content and stuff like that. I want to dive into the whole discussion of him becoming the barrel boy.
Ooh,
because
that's
it was difficult, and it took a lot of selling and a lot of getting over and getting used to. And I think there's still questions about like how long is the shelf life for that? Or is it forever?
Mm-hmm.
So part three, behind the barrel, getting inside the barrel, whatever we want to term
becoming the barrel boy.
Yeah, because it wasn't easy.
It was a process for
and
sure.
And it wasn't popular with him. So all right, that was part two, part three coming up.